This week we're going to continue our series called Follow Me. It's all about following Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus, becoming more and more like him each and every day. And in this part of the series, we're going to be looking at serving. Now, if you were trying to think of some names that would represent Jesus, oh God, what names would you think of first? What names would you associate with him first? You know, in the Bible, Jesus is described by many different words, and he has many different names. Almighty, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. Christ, Cornerstone, God, Great High Priest, I Am, Holy One, King of Kings, Light of the World, Lord of All, Great Redeemer, Saviour, Son of God. The names go on and on. I'm just going to read a passage for you this morning, and it's all about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. It says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and to return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never, ever wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter explained, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Jesus replied, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except the feet to be entirely clean. And you, disciples, are clean, but not all of you, for Jesus knew who would betray him, that it was he, and that is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's who I am. That's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. You know, when we know who Jesus is and the names that describe him, Almighty God, and then we see him washing his disciples' feet. You know, in that time, when they were all sat around, walking in sandals on filthy roads of Israel, it made it imperative that you had to wash your feet before a communal meal, especially as people reclined on low tables and their feet were very much evident. They had to get rid of the dirt and the dust that was that accumulated on their feet. And that role was part of the lowest servant of the household, or a slave. That was the job, their job, to wash their feet, the lowest of the low in the house. But you know, Jesus stood up and began to wash the feet of his disciples. He was doing the work of the lowest servant in the house. You know, the disciples must have been stunned and shocked at this act of humility. You know, that Jesus Christ, their Lord, their teacher, their master, the people, the person that they looked up to, the person that they gave their life to, the person that they followed, would sit at their feet and wash them. Jesus had a heart, an attitude of servanthood. And this was in direct contrast to his disciples, who had recently been arguing about who was the greatest among them. And in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, it says, "But Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" What Jesus is talking about here is totally countercultural to society today. You know, people, just like the disciples, were fighting about who were the greatest. Often in our society, people are very quite selfish in a way, because they want to progress themselves. They're looking at how I can get higher up on the ladder, how I can get something better, how I can maybe get a bigger house, how I can be get a promotion, how I can have more respect and more authority. But, you know, Jesus was saying, it's not about that. It's all about serving. Your heart and your attitude have to be right. You need to be humble, and you need to look to serve others. You need to look to put others first and to build others up and meet their needs. He was saying it's not about puffing yourself up. It's not about being self-important, and it's not about being the one that wants to be served. But it's about serving others and laying your lives down for others. Putting aside your own wants and your own needs, as it were, to help others. So who are we serving? You know, when we meet in church and we're often serving, you know, who do we serve? Is it the pastor? Do we do the work that we do within our church for the pastor? Do we do it for each other? In fact, you know, when we're serving, when we're doing things for others, it's not the pastor, it's not each other that we're ultimately serving. It's Jesus. Serving others. You know, one thing that I hear a lot is about calling, and that people will say, well, I'm called to be, or I'm called to do. I'm called by God to be a missionary. I'm called by God to be a pastor. I'm called by God to be an evangelist. I'm called by God to be a prayer warrior. And, you know, it's great that people have that calling and that really sense of knowing what God has gifted them with and what God is asking them to do. But there's one thing that God has asked every single one of us to do, and that is to serve. Everyone is called to serve. And serving, when we serve, it's being obedient to God. Jesus said, do likewise, do as I do. So when we're serving, we are being obedient to God, and we're following Jesus' example of how we should live our lives. You know, when we serve, we build the church. When we serve, we support each other's needs. And when we serve, we reach people for Christ. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, it talks about a woman called Tabitha, or in Greek, her name was Dorcas. I will just read you her story for you. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. You know, Tabitha or Dorcas loved God. She was a disciple. She believed in Jesus. She'd have prayed, and she would have learned about Jesus, and she would have been a disciple of him, wanting to become more and more like Jesus. And as part of this, she served. You know, and it said that she always helped the poor. It wasn't just a one-off thing. It was something that she'd set her life to do. She'd always helped the poor. And this was a continuous thing. She was selfless. She was using what she had, the abilities that she had, to serve others. You know, one question that I could maybe ask myself or ask each of you is, who benefits from your work? Who benefits from your service? Is it us? Is it ourselves? Or is it others? You know, Dorcas's or Tabitha's service came from her relationship. It came from her relationship with God. Her heart was, she had a grateful heart for God's saving grace. The fact that she was saved. The fact that she had been given the freedom that comes from Christ. So, serving is not just something that we do. Serving is an action that reflects who we are. When we serve, we're reflecting that we're believers in Christ. When we serve, we're reflecting that heart, that grateful heart of what God has done for us. You know, Dorcas had compassion. She had compassion on the poor around her. She had compassion on those that were in need. And that compassion, with that thankfulness to God, compelled her to help. You know, she didn't aspire to be a leader. She didn't aspire to maybe move up the ranks within her community. She was content to stay where she was, to stay at home and do what she could with what she had. And in doing this, she became a great leader despite herself. Her life resulted in people turning to Christ. She took what she had in her hand, a needle and a thread, and made a massive impact on the lives of those around her, both practically and physically and spiritually. You know, sometimes there's a barrier to serving others, and that's a reflection of our society at the moment. Often is selfishness and that independence and being quite self-absorbed, that we want, it's all about me. And within our culture at the moment, that's often the case. It's like, what can I get out of this? Or if I do this, where will that lead for me? Rather than what can I give? Or how can I, you know, or what can I use? Or how can I use what God has given me? What are the opportunities that are before me? What can I do? Not to serve myself, but to serve others, and ultimately to serve God. You know, who would have known that making garments for the poor widows would have led to people's lives being transformed and many people coming to faith? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink, or a stranger show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are doing it to me. Serving others. What effect does it have on us? You know, as I said before, serving is not just something we do. It's an action that reflects who we are in Christ. The greatest among you will be the servant. We don't serve for ourselves and what we can get out of things. But you know, there are many benefits to serving others. One of the things that we do when we start to serve and when we start to do things for God and for other people with a right heart and a right attitude, we discover and we develop our spiritual gifts, those things that God has given us, and it enables us to grow spiritually and grow closer to God. You know, when we step out and we use what we have, we can experience and see miracles happen. You know, look at the miracle of Dorcas being brought back to life and people's lives being transformed. Or when the boy gave his lunch and the disciples gave out the food, one child's lunch fed 5,000 plus people. When we step out and do things, we see God move and we see miracles happen. When we step out and serve others, we grow in relationships. It helps us to develop relationships with other Christians. It helps us to be part of that fellowship. We have that sense of belonging to a family. And we're part of a bigger picture. You know, when we serve as part of a church, we may be doing our small part, but actually that's part of a bigger picture. That's part of KCC in Nottingham. We might do our small part, but actually that's part of a bigger picture of us reaching out into the community to transform Nottingham for God. You know, one thing that I always hear is, well, actually, I don't want to do that because it's not my ministry gift. But, you know, sometimes we're called to serve. And it's not always something that you have to pray about. It's not always something that you have to say, oh, well, it's not my ministry gift. That's not what God's called me to do. So actually, no, I'll give that a miss. Sometimes there are things that need to be done that, to be honest, isn't really anybody's spiritual gift. It's not anybody's ministry gift. It's not anybody's calling to do. For one example, I had preached in a service and I'd led a service in the morning, and in the afternoon that in the same building there was going to be a Romanian speaking service. And on the way out, some people were saying, oh, there's something wrong, Nicola, with the toilets in the ladies toilets. There's something wrong with the sinks. And after the service, everybody had disappeared. I went into the toilet and found that, yeah, there was an issue with the toilet. It wasn't pretty. There was sewage coming up through the toilet to the sinks in the ladies' toilet. And so I got the rod out and I was rodding the drains outside, and I was getting the plunger out and trying to plunge the toilets and plunge the sinks. The youth leader walked past and saw what I was doing, and he said, Nicky, let me give you a hand there. And he went out and rodded the drains while I was inside trying to sort out the sinks. It took us a while, but I knew that actually those toilets had to be done for the Romanian service, as they would have been needed by 120 people that was going to be coming to that service. So we worked hard. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't my calling to unblock toilets. But after unblocking and after cleaning and bleaching the whole place, the service went ahead without actually being able, the service was allowed to go ahead. in a sense. We didn't have to close off those toilets, which were needed for the women and the children in the building. And, you know, cleaning toilets and unblocking drains is not my calling, and it wasn't the youth leader's calling, but it was a need. And we decided to do that to serve the church and to serve the Romanian congregation that was coming in. We couldn't have waited until Monday to get a plumber in. It needed to be done, and we were able to do it, and so we did it. You know, Jesus said, be prepared to serve. Be humble. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He did the dirtiest job, in a sense, within that household. He knelt and he served the disciples. Another thing that happens is that serving builds character. When we serve others, it helps us to develop a humility. It helps us to develop our character traits and who we are, that kindness and that showing love for other people. Putting others first and taking a step back ourselves. Often when I looked for team members, I looked for those who served. You know, those people that were humble, those people that maybe didn't want a position, but they wanted to be who they could be in any situation. I'd look for those people who would walk past a piece of paper on the floor and pick it up, who would see something that needed cleaning and wouldn't walk past but would clean it. I would see those people that took pride in the church and looked after the church building. You know, it was important to see people whose hearts were in the right place. They didn't want just to puff themselves up and to be in a position, but they wanted to serve others. You know, when we're obedient and when we serve, it often brings us joy. You know, there's often that saying, isn't there? It's far better to give than to receive. And often it is. You get so much joy out of serving. At the time, it might not be something that you want to do. It might not be something that you enjoy doing. But once you've served, you get that joy from being able to help and support other people and to meet others' needs. You know, when you serve, it increases your faith. You see God at work through you. And it's amazing how something that seems so insignificant or small can actually have a massive impact on somebody else's life. Through serving, you grow in relationship with God. Because when you serve and you know who you are serving, God will bless you and you will grow closer to him. So what does serving look like now? We often think about serving in a church context when we're actually meeting in a church building. So what would it look like now when we're actually, the building's closed? Well, you know, if we want Nottingley to be changed and people's lives impacted with the gospel, we need to work together. We need to serve together. We need to be selfless and we need to be part of that church family. And when we're part of a church family, when we're part of a team, we serve together. There's not one person that is serving everyone. There's not a small group of people that's serving everyone. It's everyone serving each other. It's everyone serving the people of Nottingley. You know, it's not about what can I get, but it's about what can I give. It's not about thinking about ourselves, but it's about looking at others and looking to God. When I'm serving others, I'm serving Christ, the Most High God. And we have to remember that. In all things, we serve Christ. So how do we become a faithful servant? How do we make a difference? You know, it may seem so insignificant, the things that you do. You might think, well, this is only a small thing that we do. But when we're obedient and we step out in God, God takes what we have and he makes a massive difference. You know, what have you got? Have you got a car? Could you deliver the food in the food bank and just meet people on their doorsteps and give them a smile and give them a message of love? Do you have a phone? Could you call people? Right now when we can't meet people, people are sat in their homes, and actually many people are lonely. Many people are feeling that it's a difficult time and feeling the fact that they're not with other people. A friendly voice of somebody who cares can make a massive difference. Can you pray for people? Do you have time when you can sit and pray and actually say to somebody, I'm praying for you over this? Or actually today, I prayed for you, even though they've not asked for that prayer. Are you a good listener? Can you listen to people who are in need? Maybe you can draw alongside somebody, maybe go even for a walk, a social distance walk, and just say, hey, look, if you want to talk, I can listen. Maybe you can give. Maybe you're financially able to give that little bit extra during this time. Many charities are finding it very difficult at the moment. And maybe there are people, there are charities that you feel that you want to give to. Maybe it's giving to somebody in need that you know is in need at this time. Maybe you can help someone practically. Maybe there are people that are self-isolating. Maybe there are people that are unable to get out of their homes and that you can shop for them or you can garden for them because they're unable to do it at this time. It's important that we look at how we can serve where we are right now. But it's also very important, just as well as looking for those opportunities where we can serve spontaneously and serve when we see a need, it's so important to be consistent in a place of service, to be intentional in service. We are consistently pouring ourselves out. And, you know, look at where your gifts are, look at where your heart is, look at what God's given you, and what can you do? When we looked at Dorcas, she was always helping the poor. The widow stood and said, look at these garments. She spent time and over months and years supporting the poor. It was something that she could do, and she did it consistently, and she was intentional about serving. What can you be intentional about serving? Look for where you can serve. Look for what you've got in your hands and ask God to use it for his glory. Because when we all serve, when we're all obedient, we can make a difference. When we give and we serve, God blesses what we do. And it's amazing what can happen. So who do we serve? And how do we serve? This week, as one challenge that maybe I want to give to you is look at what's in your hand. Even in this time when things are all different, you have something in your hand of where you can serve God. And step out. Have that courage to step out, because when you step out and you serve God, he will bless it. And it'd be amazing to see what God does with that, what you have in your hand. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you for who you are. Lord, we want to thank you that you are Almighty God, that you are the King of Kings, but also that you came to serve. Lord, that you gave your life for us. And I pray, God, for each and every one of us, God, that we would, Lord, be obedient in service to you. That we would look at what is in our hands and give it back to you. Lord, that we would have a heart that would reflect who we are, that we would have an attitude that would reflect who we are, that our characters would reflect who we are in you. Lord, and I pray, God, that as we start to serve, that we would see amazing things happen. As we start to serve, I pray, God, that we would see Nottingham impacted for you. As we start to serve, I pray, God, that needs will be miraculously met. And as we start to serve, I pray, God, that people will come to faith in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. It's great that you could join with us this morning. After the service, during our coffee time today, we're going to be sharing communion together. So we'll give you 10 minutes after this meeting has finished to go and grab your bread and grab your wine, and so that we can have this special time together. Look out on Thursday for a new playlist. It's great to have some sung worship, and we put 5 songs together so that you can worship during the week. And the worship that we put on a Thursday always links to the following Sunday's talk, so that we can prepare. And it'd be great maybe if you get up that little bit earlier and listen to the playlist and worship God before our talk on Sunday. Have a fantastic week, and hope to see you here next week.